This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served with Presidents Nixon and Ford, and you can see her as a regular panelist on the Fox News Channel as well as some of the other cable channels. And we want to get her thoughts today in preview of the President's State of the Union address, with most of the attention on the economy and maybe health care. There are also some very serious national security and foreign policy issues out there for the President to address, and we want to get KT's thoughts on how he should address them. And KT, it's always great to have you with us.
Great pleasure, Greg.
Well, let's start with what happened just about a month ago, the attempted terrorist attack on the airliner headed for Detroit on Christmas Day. That obviously was the focus of Washington for at least a couple of weeks after that. Now, ever since the Massachusetts Senate race and things like that, the issue has been put on the back burner a little bit. What does the president need to say, though, to convince Americans that he's got a good grasp on keeping this country safe?
Well, the first and most important thing he could do is reverse himself on reading Miranda rights to alleged terrorists. And I think it was an issue in the Massachusetts election, interestingly, because if you look at where the polls were in that election, the Republican and Democrat were kind of pulling even right before Christmas. And then Christmas happened and the Christmas Day bomber. And it was clear that after 8 years, we still are letting terrorists come on planes with explosives. Somehow or other, they're slipping through the net. And that all of a sudden became a breakaway issue for Scott Brown in Massachusetts, and his polls shot up after Christmas Day, after that failed bombing attempt. So I think that it does still remain an issue in most people's minds, even if it's sort of put in the back of their minds. But the whole issue of how do you treat terrorists, if you treat them like citizens and you give them the rights of citizens and put them in the civilian court system, that has its own trajectory, and whether they're guilty or not will come out. The more important thing, though, from the point of view of safety of the American people, is reading the Miranda rights, because what happened to that Christmas Day bomber, Greg? He got off that plane, and according to the former attorney general, he was babbling like a brook, and he was bragging about the other people who were coming, who were trained in Yemen like him, who were coming to the United States to go on airliners to blow up, you know, to cause terrorist incidents. But what happened? The Justice Department sent a lawyer and was read, the Christmas Day bomber was read Miranda rights. And that first part of that is you have the right to remain silent. Then they gave him a lawyer, and the lawyer made sure that he clammed up. Now, we don't know what he knows. You know, it would have been really good if we could have asked him, you know, who did you meet with in Yemen? You were there for 3 months. Who trained you? Who taught you how to do this? Who recruited you? Who sewed the explosives into your underwear? Who else was there? Who else is coming? Now we don't have any of that information, and the trail is cold. So even if, as some of the attorney general and others in the administration have implied, is that, well, he'll talk down the road when we have a plea bargain with him, well, forget it. Down the road is 6-9 months. We need that information now.
KT, that information and that story, of course, comes also in conjunction with the report that we got on Tuesday from the bipartisan panel on weapons of mass destruction that we're getting F's in a lot of categories about keeping this country safe from the threat of a potential bioterror attack specifically.
Well, you know, that the whole issue of how are we keeping the homeland safe, and here we are 8 years later, we're still taking off our shoes, okay? Well, the shoe bombers, terrorists have moved on. They're not putting weapons in shoes anymore. They're putting them in underwear. So what are we going to take off next? I mean, we need to have an intelligence community that is nimble and innovative and creative. Otherwise, we're always one step behind. Now, part of that is bureaucracy. Part of that is Republican and Democrats. It's not a partisan thing that you lay at the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But the other thing, which is the attitude of treating these people like, you know, somebody who's robbed a bank instead of like an enemy combatant, that comes from Pennsylvania Avenue. And I think that is the single most dangerous thing we can do to Americans right now, is to treat alleged terrorists as if they're bank robbers and not as if they are soldiers in a war of people fighting against us.
KT, let's talk about a couple of foreign policy issues in addition to that. The president, of course, from about the late summer to early December, deliberating what to do next in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. He ultimately decided on about 30,000 additional troops, but also set the summer of 2011, next summer, to begin the withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan as well. What more does he need to say about that, if anything, tonight?
Well, it's interesting. Greg, I had the opportunity to sit down with General Petraeus on Friday and talk to him for my new show on FoxNews.com called DEFCON 3. And he said that date of July of 2011. That's not when we have to have all the troops out. It's when we're going to assess where we are, and we may begin, you know, we may have a very different conclusion then than we do today. And he said that the objective of that date was to put light a fire under the Afghan government to get them going and let them feel a certain amount of urgency of getting on with training their troops and fighting the good fight. I certainly hope that what the president does with regard to Afghanistan is define what his goal is, because I don't think he's done that. You know, what are we there to do? Are we there to kill Taliban? Are we there to kill Al-Qaeda? Are we there to build roads and win the hearts and the minds of the people? Are we there to train the Afghan military? Those are all very different objectives, and they require different resources, often competing resources. And I don't think the president's been clear about what he wants to accomplish and what the objectives are and what the milestones are that we need to have so that we can judge our progress.
On to Iran now, and the president has pursued a policy of engagement. Depending on who you ask, you'll get different responses as to whether it's accomplished a whole lot. But we do know that, according to some experts, Iran's getting closer and closer to getting to the point of no return on this nuclear program. In fact, some are suggesting that we just need to get used to the idea of Iran being a nuclear power. What should we hear from the president on that tonight?
Well, I think he's got to, and this is very late in the game, but I think he's got to try severe economic sanctions, gasoline sanctions, banking sanctions on Iran, even if we have to do it alone. It's one thing to say we're holding out the olive branch and we want to have diplomacy, but he's now missed how many, three or four deadlines have come and gone, and still there's been no reaction, no carrots. We've had plenty of carrots with Iran, but no sticks. And, you know, if you don't have any leverage over a country, and we don't have a lot over Iran right now, negotiating without leverage isn't negotiating, it's begging. And then the second thing that the president needs to do is do what Ronald Reagan did with the Poland labor union movement in the early 1980s. You know, the Iranians have a large and growing dissident movement, and yet President Obama has been silent. He has not encouraged them. He needs to bring the moral authority that he is so fond of using in other ways, bring that to the fight, and tell the Iranian people, the Iranian dissident movement, they have every right to have free and open elections, and they have every right for a government to respond to them and encourage them. Not send in the troops, not do anything other than encourage them and then to apply economic sanctions. Both of those would be a big improvement and a big reversal of his policies just so far.
Quick 30-second follow-up, KT. When those uprisings by the protesters started after the rigged elections in Iran last year, the president said any overt U.S. endorsement would be used by the government there as an excuse to harshly repress the people there. It sounds
well,
like you disagree
harshly
with
repressing
that.
The people, and they're already shown that they'll use any excuse they want. What you need to do, though, is give heart to those people who are having their heads bashed in, who are being thrown into jail, who are being beaten as they try to go and express their rights on the street in demonstrations. And so that whole notion of, well, we don't want to offend them, we don't want to give them an excuse, I think, you know, let's find a little backbone, President Obama, and tell those people the way Ronald Reagan told the Polish workers' movement that we stand behind you.
KT, we'll be listening very carefully tonight, as I'm sure you will as well. Thanks so much for your time.
Great pleasure, Greg.
KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served Presidents Nixon and Ford. You can find her online program, DEFCON 3, at foxnews.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.